All set. Go ahead.
7:02, I'd like to call a meeting to order. We all stand for the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance
to the flag
of the United States of America.
America, into the Republic for which it stands,
one nation,
under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, thank you. Roll call, please.
Ms. DeGeniro?
Here.
Ms. Dugato? Ms. Vidomsky?
Here.
Mr. Joseph DiMartino?
Here.
Mrs. Kurtica?
He can't hear for some reason.
She's there.
Okay, I see Camille here. Mr. Sill?
Here.
Mr. Jim DiMartino?
Excused.
Mr. Hyder?
Here.
Mr. Sampson?
Excused.
Okay.
All right.
So the record should reflect that you have 6 members present.
Beautiful. You have
and that's enough for a quorum, Mr. Mayor.
Perfect. Thank you, Mark. Number 4, public portion. Anybody from the public would like to speak on the agenda?
Yes, Mr. Mayor. Tom Lionetti, 79 Sunset Drive.
Yes, sir.
Last week at your meeting, a big point that was supposed to be at this meeting were the Boys of Summer. So I waited all week for this meeting and I don't see it on the agenda. I'd like to know why.
They submitted a letter and they pulled back the request.
So in other words, they're not coming.
No.
So we lost 18 grand. Okay, thank you. That's from now on, we got to do things a little faster than what we're doing here with the board. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
You're welcome, sir. Anybody else from the public like to speak? Anybody else?
Yes, good evening, Karen Camises. I wanted to speak on the Cub Scout. I see that they want to put birdhouses at Whittock Park, and I think that's a wonderful opportunity for them to enjoy the nature, the beauty of the park, also learn to love all living things, and to provide some community spirit. I would also like to suggest that down the line, if they're looking for other projects, or maybe to expand the project they're proposing, that the Inopinak property was originally designated as a bird sanctuary. That was Mr. Inopiak's wish when he passed it on to the city. So in the future, if they can consider that property, do some enhancements over there or kind of adopt it as their own, that would be a wonderful thing. Thank you.
Thank you, Karen. And I'm a bird lover myself, so that's a great idea. Anybody else from the public like to speak? I'm not kidding, Barbara. I feed birds and ducks.
Oh, that- I'm actually thinking of the Larry Bird commercial that's been on during the tournament. If you have a bird watch or a bird bath, I'm just thinking of that and had nothing to do with it. I look at the birds out and I can look out right now. I have a lot of birds in my yard, but I'm just thinking of the commercial.
Very calming, I love it. Anybody else from the public? Third and last call. Okay, thank you, everyone. Number 5, Derby Greenway Trail and Riverwalk. Update and use and status report, discussion only. I'm going to turn that over to Jack.
Okay, I could go on for days about it, but I just wanted to get something on the record so that people understand just how successful this greenway has been since it started. And I see Mark Garfalo's on here. He was involved from the very beginning. But, we get great statewide attention because of the greenway. You know, I tried to put the data together so you can see it. You know, this isn't a debatable thing. This is the most heavily used trail of 26 trails that are measured in the state of Connecticut. And it's not even close. I mean, we got over 300,000 uses a year. And I should explain the term uses because that is rather confusing. There's a counter on the greenway and as people go by, they break a beam and then they get counted. So when you say 320,000 uses as we had last year, the actual number of people is probably a little bit more than half of that. But you know, when we have 320,000 and there's only one other trail that got past 200,000. It tells you how successful it's been. And I want to pay tribute to the Department of Public Works because they're a big part of that. They keep it up. Maintenance is great. During the winter, it's open all the time. So, you know, I just think people need to know that this is an investment that the city made, you know, 16 years ago that has paid off handsomely and continues to pay off for the city. And I also wanted to let you know, and the last page shows you the Naugatuck River Greenway, because that's not a pipe dream. I mean, it's going to happen, and it's happening in different towns. Ansonia, for example, I believe is out to bid right now for the construction of their next phase. Torrington put in one phase last year, and they're out to bid on another one. Waterbury is out to bid for several. So eventually, and I don't know if I'll be alive when it's done, but this will connect to Torrington. It'll be a nice draw for the city. And, you know, it's nice to go to meetings and everybody is saying, what did Derby do right? Why is Derby so popular? How come? Well, it's because the city did it right and continues to do it right. But eventually it will go all the way to Torrington. And I want to get in a plug at the last minute. You know, I've got my background being the plaza at the beginning. And of course, that's where the Derby Hall of Fame is. We're taking nominations and we'll be back next month with the selectees for this year. And generally we have 2 to 3 people every year that are added to the Derby Hall of Fame. And if you don't know who they are, I would urge you to go to the old website and take a look. There are over 50 people now. And it's a living history of Derby, if you take a look at it. There's some remarkable people there. But you know, again, I just want to get on the record how successful this has been. The numbers back it up 100%. So unless you have any questions, I don't have anything else.
Thank you, Jack. It is very successful. They talk about it up at the NV Cog all the time, how well we're doing down here. So
you just need to. Thanks, Jack.
Hey, hearing no questions. Thank you, Jack.
Thank you, Jack.
Thanks, Jack.
Mark, can you just note that Alderwoman Degato is here?
Noted for the record.
Thank you, sir. Number 6, Troop 3, Derby, Connecticut. Request to install birdhouses at Whittock Park. Move to authorize Troop 3, Derby, Connecticut to install birdhouses at Whittock Park in conjunction with the Department of Public Works at no cost to the City of Derby. Do I have a motion?
Mr. Mayor, I'd just like to say that a young fellow named Ben Smith did email me a few times on this, and a bunch of the scouts made birdhouses, and they're all excited, and I told him I had to bring it to a meeting just to get the okay on it.
So yeah, are you making a motion?
It was on Facebook, so I'll make the motion.
Okay, do I have a second?
Second, Sarah.
Thank you, Sarah. Discussion, go ahead, Ron.
If they were all as easy as this one, a good project like this, I thought he had made a few, but I saw, I don't know how many scouts on Facebook yesterday holding the birdhouses they made. They're all different. And I like Karen said, it's going to be a great thing for the park. I just wonder, do we need to coordinate this with Ed or anybody? Or
sure. Just we'll, I'll have, we'll get in touch with Ed tomorrow and get whatever information we have, get it to Pam so we can get it to Public Works, and we'll coordinate that and help them out any way we possibly can if you guys approve this.
All right. I'll email him back tonight.
Okay. Any other discussion? Hearing none. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstain? So carried. All right. So if you get that information over, Ron, we'll get Public Works on that with okay. That. Make a little project out of that. Perfect. Thank you. Number 7, WPCA disposition of vehicle. Move to authorize a Derby WPCA to dispose of the following vehicles by auction. 7.1, a 2009 Ford Expedition police SUV. Last 500 VIN is 02939, mileage 120,000. Estimated value, $1,200. Do I have a motion?
Move, Rob.
Second?
Second.
Okay, any discussion?
Just, Ed was on, right? Oh, yeah, there's Ed. Hi, Ed. You did try to see if anybody else, any other department wanted the vehicles, correct?
We did that about 6 months ago, when the first time we tried this, when Mr. McLiberty was still there, and there were no takers on it.
Okay, so for the other two as well, just so I don't have to ask again, the other two vehicles, you did the same thing? Okay, all right, thank you.
Any other discussions? Yes. Okay, hearing none. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
Abstain? So carried. 7.2, it's a 2000 Chevy 2500 pickup truck. VIN, last five is 00966, mileage 74,405. Do I have a motion? Estimated value at 1500. Do I have a motion?
So moved, Rob.
Second?
Second, Joe.
Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Abstain? So carried. 7.3, a 1997 GMC Safari van, CCTV truck, VIN, last five, 32409, mileage 7,691, estimated value $1,800. Do I have a motion?
So moved, Ron.
Second?
I'll second it. Camille?
Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
Abstain? So carried. All right, Ed, have fun getting rid of those things.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you for being here. Number eight, city insurance for the city of Derby. Move to authorize addition of cyber insurance for the city of Derby. Insurance policy cost of $25,500, 4/1/2021 to 6/30/2022. I have a motion.
So moved.
Can I have a second?
Second, Rob.
Rob, okay. Discussion. If you had any questions, Drew can fill you in on a lot, what's going on with this. I think if people have seen what's going on in the world with cyber overtaking both a lot of the computer systems. So if there's any questions, Drew can answer.
Hey, Andrew, it's Barbara.
Yes.
Well, the cost is over per the charter would have to be bid. What was it bid?
Yes, our broker shopped it. We had six bids. This was by far and away the lowest for this threshold of coverage.
But so I think we had this issue once before. So the broker bid our bid process.
Correct. The broker. So with insurance, the way that the broker do it, they go out to market, and whoever provides that type of coverage will respond with their packages and their rates. And that's how we do it. That's how we've done it for health, cyber, or any other liability. And Ben might be able to speak to this process as well if necessary.
Is this policy, seems pretty hefty to me, but is this policy, who is it covering? Is it covering every agency in the city?
Yes.
Is it a blanket? Is it covering every department? Is it covering every employee's computer?
It covers the Board of Education and all of the above for any up to $3 million, I believe, is the recommended amount.
This is Anita. Was it recommended by our software providers that, you know, check? Yes. Do they recommend we have this insurance?
Yes. As a matter of fact, we're a little behind the eight ball on this. This was actually recommended last year, and there's been such a rash of these types of attacks, specifically on municipalities lately, that even the FBI put out a memo recommending that all communities have protections against cyber attacks. So.
Okay. If I may, members of the board, this is for a 15-month policy. You'll note that the annual, like 12-month renewal for next year, will be approximately $20,500. That's the variable in the number.
Thank you.
I read that.
Thank you for that. The goal, reason for that is obviously to get us on our fiscal calendar by doing that. So, thank you.
Any other questions? All right, hearing none. A motion, a second. All in favor for the cyber insurance for the city of Derby?
Aye.
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 Opposed?
Aye.
Abstain? Okay, so carried. You're going to be safe now. Temporary solution for municipal parking garage and meter operations. Discussion and possible action. Could I have a motion?
We don't even know what it's about.
We're just discussion and possible action. Did we get that information out to in the packet or no?
We have a one page thing here. I thought maybe
it's ready. The one pager is all that was provided. So
I have a question then. So I read what was presented. So I want somebody to explain to me what the cost savings that you indicate here by using LAZ parking. What does that actually cover, the savings? It says our staffing costs will be less. So why will it be less?
Because we won't need to have the manned booth anymore. The way that Laz is presenting their the perspective is we're going to use hang tags in the cars for those that have municipal agreements with the city to park there. So for instance, the post office, if they have 25 people that are on their staff, they will have 25 hand cards. So you won't be swiped. They won't have to swipe their ticket, their little pass anymore. What happened is the equipment is failing, and Amano McMahon, the company that is handling our equipment for the last years, as far as I know, they had come back to me and they said that they can't get the parts anymore for the mechanics and that the software program is obsolete. So with that, I asked him, can you work up a price for me to present to the city to enhance the, to get new equipment? And their price was $50,000. So with that price coming in, I said, well, let me go and investigate a few more, which I called Big Box. And they would also do a different type of, there would be no gate either. With Amano McMahon would still have the gate. Big Box would not have the gate. But what they would do is they would put these big boxes in, and the people would go up to the box as they park, and they would put their credit card in, and they would park, pay for their parking through that. That was $25,000. So then we called Laz Parking out of New Haven, and they came down and they were very, very agreeable to take on what our problems were. And they said we could do this a lot without capital improvement. So what they're presenting is the hang tags on the meters. There would also be a tag that would be pasted on the meter and everything would be done with your phone and your credit card. Now the meters will also take coins, will still take coins for those people who do not have a phone or who do not wish to use that type of system. So the meters will still operate with coin. And with the savings of the handheld device that the Rich DiCarlo used to be our officer, if you would say, that would go around and ticket, that handheld device is $180 a month. So with that savings and some of the salaries, Mr. DiCarlo included, that's how we come up with the $3,200 a month in savings.
So is there anybody, I read what was presented, Carm. So I just I have another question. When you just talked about this, whatever's going to be hanging off of, what is going to be hanging off the meter that a lot, what exactly is it that allows somebody to use their phone?
Okay, so nothing will be hanging off the meter.
That's what you said.
It's going to be pasted on the meter.
Okay.
So there would be the phone number that they call. They you call in with your phone, go to the RAP, register your license plate, and pay for how many hours or minutes the you think you're going to be at the lawyer's office, at the dentist office, at the post office. So the meters will still be used.
All right. And so then how do we get that money?
We get 100% of that money. That money comes directly from the credit card. And we do not pay for the 35 cents per card swipe. The customer pays for that.
And then Carmen, also if they are in the court,
yes,
running late.
If your case is running late, your phone gets notified that you only have 10 minutes left. So you can go back on your phone and register for another half hour or 45 minutes or an hour, however much more time you think you need.
And what happens if they don't?
Say again, Ron?
What happens if they don't? Who's monitoring that?
Okay, so we would have one person. Actually, we're going to have three part-timers at the garage, one person on at all hours to ticket or to check the license plates on the street and in the garage.
And they'll have a handheld device that will be checking plates. Is that correct, Carmen?
Yeah, actually, they're going to do it through their phone, through the same app. They'll have a special app on their phone, goes directly to Laz, and Laz gives them the report on if their meter is up, or if they're using coin, you're still going to get the violation that you get now. But if they're not using coin, if there's nothing registered on the meter, the person just has to go to the app, put in the license plate number, and it will tell them if they have paid, you know, if they have enough time on the meter or if they deserve a ticket.
So our personnel that are at the parking garage, are they going to have accessibility to, if there's a problem with somebody using the app, do they have accessibility to the LAS personnel? Do we have any LAS personnel that are going to be at our city garage?
No.
Okay.
We will have direct through our phone, through the app, to LAS.
So, Carm, is this a contract, and how long is it for?
This is we have not talked about contract at all yet. There's three proposals on the table. I thought that the $50,000 and the $25,000 were too much, my opinion. So I brought all three to you. What you decide to do is up to you. I just think that financially responsible, the best way for us to do, especially the condition that the garage is in, is that we should go with the least amount of upfront cost as possible.
And I think this works. I mean, many of you is probably go to New Haven or Waterbury and you have those parking hubs where you print out a ticket and you put it on your dash and stuff like that. This is sort of, from what they're explaining, easier handheld, less personnel needed to enforce all this. And it's a steady stream of income. We still have people paying for parking that they're putting in, and we're still collecting coins and stuff like that. So after searching that, I really thank Carmen and Drew for really spearheading this and looking into ways to make for more funds for the city.
I have a question, Anita. So the parking person doesn't pay the meter, doesn't have an app. What ticket gets put on their car and who follows up to collect that ticket? Because right now there's a company that they use, right? With the handheld, it's automatically billed out. They do the motor vehicle.
So we would be handling the ticket. That would be part of Laz's $600 a month fee that they would charge us. But the machine that you're talking about, Anita, the handheld ticket writer, I have a report from them. I had stopped their contract because they weren't doing their job, number one. Number two, we've been paying, we have been paying for this for over a year now, and we're not giving any tickets out. So I said, why are we still paying for this? So I asked them for a report.
But I'm just concerned about the new park people that are parking. Who's going to take care of the tickets and give the tickets out? Laz is going to send and mail out their tickets, and it's not going to cost us anything for that?
Correct. To get back to what you were talking about before, the name of the company that we had with the handheld ticket writer is Passport Labs. And as of right now, we have 12,000.
That's not for this right now. To the solution. I mean, I understand there's a lot of back. It used to be CompuLus, but we're talking about now. Laz is going to send the ticket to the person, to their home, mail it out, and we don't have extra.
That may be done by email. Or maybe done on their phone right when they register their license plate.
Okay, but some people won't have phones.
That's when they're going to use, and the people who use coin, and they'll go to the ticket from the city, and we will handle that. Everybody that uses their phone will be ticketed through Laz.
Right.
Anybody who uses coin will be ticketed through us.
And who would that person be?
That's our staff. I'm sorry, Carm, I'll jump in. That's our staff. So the same way we've always done it, our staff will have access to the app to be able to check if someone's logged in, if they've paid, and if they have not and they're over, they can write a ticket right through that app. So, and it'll all be managed through that. And because the person signed up through the app, their information's already in there. They've already had their credit card. I think they're just billed. So I think we need to get a little bit more clarity on the enforcement action as to what the next steps are. But that's really short of that. And we actually asked that question today and we haven't gotten a response back to that yet, but that would be our staff managing the actual ticket writing through the app. So.
Andrew, it's Barbara. I think I would like to see a proposal in your proposals. I mean, not your proposal, an actual proposal from Laz Parking, because to see if there are any other, if they are going to charge for some. The logistics of it sound great to me, but I'd like to see the writing because I'm still trying to wrestle with. I understand we're not going to have as much staff, physically at the garage, but there's still going to be staff working to try to enforce and to use this app and to use the whole process of ticketing. So I think I would. My feeling is I would like to see Laz's actual written proposal, that this is what it is going to cost. This is what they're going to do. This is what our responsibility is, and so forth.
Yeah, I agree with Barbara.
I also agree. I think our goal tonight was just to say, okay, hey, this is what we got on the table. We want to bring back to you more detail, whether it's a contract. And these folks have offered to give a proposal to you folks as well. I don't think we wanted to kind of belabor the point tonight when we still have questions. Yeah. But we can bring Laz back in 2 weeks on April 8th and have them do a quick PowerPoint for you. And if you have questions about the mechanics, to ask them directly would probably be the best way to go.
Thank you.
You're welcome. So we'll do that for the farm. We'll get those guys together for 2 weeks. Thank you.
Thank you for all the work.
Any other questions on that? Once again, thank you guys for doing that. All right, hearing none, we'll move on to number 10, 9 Minerva Street, sale of city property. Move to authorize the sale of city property at 9 Minerva Street. Can I have a motion?
So moved.
Joe, second.
Second, Rob.
Rob, okay, discussion?
What's the motion? Just to sell it? It's not to the actual...
Move to authorize the sale of the property at 9:00.
Just the sale?
Yes.
Not to an actual bidder?
Yeah, did you get the list?
I got the list, but
yep.
The motion is to authorize the sale. So it's just to the sale, but it's not to the actual bidder.
To the highest bidder.
Correct?
I believe it's... this is...
I believe the...
Go ahead.
The intention of this motion was to have Mr. DiCenzo, I think, speak to the matter and then have you act on it. Because you already authorized it to be sold and it was put out to sealed bid and these are the bids. Am I right, Mr. DiCenzo? Sorry.
Yes, sir, Mr. Garofalo. The bid was sent out February 14th. Closed March 12th. We had this group of bidders, Mr. Noah Stengel from NS Luxury Apartments was the highest bidder at $80,000. And the list of bidders are there. It's pretty straightforward.
I have to say I'm happy with this, that's for sure. When we first talked about it, you know, so right. I'm with the bids.
And just for the board, as is Corporation Counsel Vin Marino, I would recommend if you're going to approve this and accept the highest bid, that you should authorize the city to enter into a contract with the highest bidder with no contingencies and a 30-day closing and a quitclaim deed.
Sounds good to me. I mean, they can only do there what it's zoned for and everything, so.
Yeah.
Carmen, have you spoken to the highest bidder?
Just the highest bidder, yes. Mm-hmm. Only to acknowledge that he was the highest bidder and that it has to be presented to the Board of Aldermen and the meeting is tonight. And if he is awarded the bid, then I'll call him back and I'll set him up with Corp Counsel and they could go on with the contract.
Yeah.
Ben, does the motion need to be amended before we vote?
No, I think if you authorize the city to, if you authorize the sale to the highest bidder, I think that's fine as it is. I mean, we're going to do it by way of a purchase and sale agreement with the highest bidder with no contingencies and a 30-day close. And we're gonna convey it by way of quitclaim deed.
Yeah, I just don't know that the motion said to the highest bidder.
Yeah, I'll amend my motion to the highest bidder.
Second it.
No, you can't second it, Camille. Rob got to second it.
I'll second. Second the updated motion.
Okay.
All right. Any more discussion? All right, hearing none. All in favor?
Aye.
Carrie. Good job, guys. A lot more than we expected. So, all right, number 11, Finance Department information update, discussion, and updates only.
I'll start this off. One of the questions that we have on our minds is the audit that was due in December. It's 3-4 months late and we've had not even an update.
That is still in a process. And I think former mayors that are on here understand March, it's still being worked on. They're looking at April to be done due to the fact with the COVID server crash, the loss of a couple key players in the city. They're looking at April to have it done. That was the last that the update that I have.
So there were extensions were filed then for.
Right.
Okay. And for the, you know, the fiscal year 19 audit that's available, have you been given corrective actions for those? I was trying to find through my records and the website. I don't see anything, and I would like to know the status of that, if you've...
With the corrective actions that we've been doing with the 8-point plan, if that's what you're referring to.
From the findings in the fiscal year 19 audit, which was...
I don't have that in front of me, but I know we were part of, I'm pretty sure that was the 8-point plan.
They were multiple repeat findings from the fiscal year 18 audit.
18, 17, 16. Yeah, there was
yeah. A few more. And so I was just, you know,
And that's what the bookkeeper and a bunch of other things.
You know, if you've gotten or requested corrective action updates from the finance department.
I don't have David here right now. Unfortunately, it was a last minute thing for him to get here. I'll have to do any specific questions that you have. I can get them to the finance department and get those answered.
I think it would be helpful to get us, you know, maybe a spreadsheet of the corrective actions to the deficiencies. You know, what departments are working on them, what has been closed out, what's still open, and you know, when those corrective actions are expected to be completed, if they're not complete.
Well, no, there's a lot out there.
Yeah. No, I think it'd be helpful for us as a board to see that in a spreadsheet. So, you know, we're doing our due diligence in keeping up with it and making sure that we're aware.
Yeah. I know that it's always been,
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah. Oh, that's okay. Now, I know in the past it's difficult to get information to the accountant for the, you know, to make the audit. I know that's always been an issue. And I know one of the corrective actions is to close monthly so that it's timely. So at the end of the year, it's easier to just close out the last month. So I don't know who's, now we have a chance with new finance director that could be imperative in his job to reconcile the checkbook monthly and to close out all the expenses and the revenues, close them out monthly and balance them. As a board can probably see something monthly and it, you know, helps, makes the numbers that the tax board and their board real, and it helps all around for transparency.
Oh, no, absolutely. I agree with that 100%. And that's what we've been working on. And like, as you know, Patty passing away, Keith going on, there's 50 years of experience that we had that luckily we still have some of the, help to get us through a lot of this stuff, which was not leaving us hanging in the wind out there. But that's part of what we're working on. And when, you know, I'll get David back here in 2 weeks to, get that spreadsheet and any other information. If there's any specifics that the aldermen and alderwomen are looking for, if they can just forward it to the finance department so they could, get the information for you.
And Mayor, for the year 20 audit, I know you mentioned April. So is that when it's expected to be completed?
That's what we're hoping on, Sarah. I mean, we had a...
So the auditor, auditors have all the information necessary to complete it.
Pretty much. I mean, with Patty passing away, was a big hiccup in this whole thing. We had a server crash for 3 weeks. So we had to upload a lot of the old information back into this. And with COVID, you know, with the pandemic going on, you know, the city got whacked, as all the cities did in the state and in the country and stuff like that. I think the key players that we have working on this right now are doing a phenomenal job getting the information. They're working on it. The last I heard, they're hoping for April. excuse me, I'm just a little dry here. And that's, Sarah, that's what I'm hearing right now. We did file the extensions from what I heard. And hopefully we can get it done. It's a lot of information, a lot of work, a lot of work to get done, especially being short staffed and all.
Yeah, so if we could get, if you could, you know, talk to the finance department and all you know, the players who are working on this to get us an update, you know, in 2 weeks, that would be great.
Absolutely.
I agree with that, yes.
Alderwoman Wadomski, just one more thing too, and Alderwoman Dugato also. I know those are goals to get the month closed out, and with the interim right now really wrapping his head around these things and putting some good processes in place, that's great. And as some of you know, because you're on the committee, the permanent finance director hiring committee has their first round of interviews next week. So, you know, I think a lot of those management letter findings that have been there for some of them for 10 years, it'd be difficult to put on an interim who's here for so far 2 months, who's likely to be here for maybe a couple more months to try to really institute all these long-term things. But in the short term, I got to say, I want to publicly recognize David Taylor for really putting some of those things in place. He's been doing a phenomenal job. We also have had interviews to backfill Ms. Finn's role, and we're still in the process of that. And we anticipate that that will come to a close very shortly as well. So that's all I have from a finance department perspective.
It's Barbara. I just want to just correct that the actual interviews are the week of April 5th. So they're not next week. They're the following week, the first set of interviews for the finance director position.
After Easter, my apologies, correct.
Right.
And the other thing we have on the some of the minds of the board members is at our January meeting, we took action with the interim finance director. And we gave that 10 days, which would have ended February 1st. We understand the board was totally ignored on that. The city has a charter that's there for a reason. The executive of the city of Derby cannot create positions, cannot set salaries. And that's what bothers the board, the total disregard for this board of aldermen. At this moment, this administration is spending unauthorized monies that the city's taxpayers have had to pay as their taxes. This must cease immediately. The fact that we have to still discuss this 3 months later does not bode well for the people involved.
And that's regarding what, Ron?
The interim finance director that is still employed, that you set a salary for and that you employed him on your own.
He's not an interim finance director.
I don't know what he is now because we had nothing to do with it.
He is, well, David is the interim finance director and he's handling that. Keith was brought in for the projects that were involved for years that were there due to Patty's passing and fixing the short-term fix. So basically it's not out of the funding that is still in there. So it's not out of the office, out of there, or out of the funding or line items and stuff like that. So there's nothing extra out of there from what we gather, and that he's fixing up a bunch of stuff that we need to go. I mean, David is not here, but just for the Turco in the middle school projects, which are years and years involved, he has a total knowledge involved in these whole projects, where if we had to go out and hire someone to come in and go through all the information and stuff like that, it would have probably been thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of more to get these lawsuits and everything done. So I look at it nothing different than hiring a plumber or heating and air conditioning. Whether it's just the person that you're against having there, that would be just like hiring a plumbing company that you didn't like. So it's the day-to-day operations of this. So if it's like a bad plumbing a toilet or something like that, do I have to come to the board every time to get a plumber in there to fix it? This is a fix that we need in the finance department.
Yeah, to follow the charter. You have to follow the charter. It's not the person, it's the way it was done, ignoring this board. We're the only ones that could do what you did. You can't do what you did.
Okay, well, we had to get this fixed. We couldn't leave the citizens in dire straits here. I mean, we had so many open things with—
We're here, where the board is here. We can meet on a couple of days' notice. It's our authority, not yours. You know, we spend a lot of time, we're all volunteers also, you know, and to be disregarded this way, it's not the person, it's the way it's done.
Well, you know, it needed to get done. It was still an executive set, you know, it's still an executive, an emergency decree with things going on here too. We can look at it that way, that you guys gave me the authority for it too, so.
And just to be clear, I'm sorry, Andrew Backer, Chief of Staff, Alderman Sill. The one thing I will say is this is not unauthorized money being spent. I would say that if whoever's filling in Patty's role in community development to do that job, that money's already been budgeted and that job is being performed. Now, we certainly, it can't be me, it can't be Carmen, it can't be Pam, it can't be the mayor, it can't be our existing staff. We're back trying to backfill Patty's role. So I think Attorney Marino can even speak to some of the institutional knowledge that Patty had as it relates to even ongoing litigation that the city is facing. It would be cost prohibitive to go to anybody else other than Mr. McLiberty for the closeout of the middle school, which is set to probably net us over some of those ongoing projects. So I understand and I appreciate that it maybe wasn't communicated actively that, hey, by the way, Patty, since Patty passed and there's so many open things with which Keith is familiar that no one else is familiar, he's being slid over to community development and being paid an hourly rate to do some of that work in his off time while he's in his new role. So, you know, from an operational perspective, I'll take that on me as the director of operations that, you know, from that we didn't communicate that in any kind of thoughtful way. But it's also a finding that, you know, and former mayor Dugato referenced the old findings of the audit, as did Alderwoman Wadomski. We've had that single point failure for a long time, and it really caught up to us here with Patty passing at when she passed after taking some time before that to take care of her sister who's sick. And I hate to even be talking about this publicly because Patty did a great job, but she took a lot of time towards the end of the year. And I remember her saying the week before she passed to us, Drew, I can't wait after the new year, I'm going to get back and catch up on all these open things. As we all know, that never got to happen. So it didn't make any sense for anybody else within the operation here that we currently have to take that on. And it certainly didn't make sense to bring in somebody from the outside to make sense of who's who and what's what on some of those capital projects. Mr. Walsh,
sewer project. Follow the charter, that's all. You can't do it. What you've done, you can't do it.
I mean, it's just why, you know, it could have been communicated, you know, 10 days for the finance director role. You know, when the interim came in, you know, it's very easy to say, listen, Ms. Finn passed away. We need help. We need Keith here for this purpose. And so, you know, it comes off as hiding it, quite honestly. It does. I mean, Mr. McLiberty was here in January. And it has nothing to do with him. It has all to do with the communication from the administration, which there was none. Yes, Mr. Marino.
Yes. Hi, it's the Marino Corporation Council. I just want to clarify for anyone listening. First, I agree with you. This may be simply a communication issue. I disagree with Alderman Sill that this was an illegal action by the mayor, for a couple of reasons. One is there was a declaration of public emergency declared by the mayor, and he has extended authority under that declaration that has not yet been rescinded. So he did have the authority, notwithstanding the charter, to take action in the best interest of the city. These were extraordinary circumstances that were being that the administration was being faced with, based upon the transition in the finance department and the death of Patty. But I do want to acknowledge Alderman Sill that I appreciate your raising the issue because I think it's more of a communication issue. I don't want there to be a perception that it was illegal under the circumstances, because we are operating still under a declaration of public emergency, and the mayor does have,
he doesn't have emergency authority. He doesn't have emergency authority.
Under the declaration, he does, sir.
No. I knew this.
Then it's Barbara. Wasn't the declaration due to COVID?
Right.
How does that relate to somebody's passing, which, you know, I'm honestly, every month, you know, everybody misses Patty, but I think it's at a point now that we can't use Patty's passing as to where we're at. And I think that's got to, like, cease. But right, I don't understand, because that emergency order was to do with COVID issues. So maybe next in the 2 weeks we need to put the declaration on, and that needs to be rescinded. But I don't know that that's the – I'm not following that.
Right. So under the declaration of a public emergency, once declared, the chief executive in the municipality has authorities to take actions that are in the best interest of the municipality while the declaration is in place. You can have a discussion as a board whether or not you'd like to make the request of the mayor that it get rescinded. But as of this moment in time, it has not been rescinded. So and again, I just want to say maybe too diplomatically, because I appreciate Alderman Sill's statement. I think, but I do believe agree with Sarah that I believe this is a communication issue only. I don't think it's an illegal action by the mayor.
And shouldn't we know the terms even right now?
You definitely have the right to ask.
And specifically the emergency, I mean, we should be able to know what Patty dropped, you know, what was not being done. We should know these emergencies where the shortfalls are.
Well, within your right to request.
Ron, I missed what you said, but is Keith still getting paid from the city? Is he still performing work?
Yes.
I don't even think he's a resident of Derby anymore. His house was sold a couple weeks ago.
Well, there's a lot of
that brings other issues as to places he held on boards and commissions and committees.
Yes,
I wasn't even going to get involved with that. I'm just talking about the disregard for the Board of Aldermen.
You know, he has access to a lot of things in the city that we need to be aware of that he's still doing. You know, it's kind of an open end that needs to be closed. We could have a special meeting. I'm willing to meet anytime to figure this out.
No, absolutely. I mean, we have the middle school. We have to get closed out. There's 400,000 coming back from that.
That's 8 years.
Short-term fixes. There's a lot of things that are out there.
You know? All of a sudden, we got to finish it out. It's 8 years.
Well, no, that is coming towards the end, Ron. But there's 400,000 out there that's coming back to the city. And that's been out there for a lot of years.
That's good to know, but we still need to know the terms of his employment. That's public knowledge.
Timeline?
The
transition?
Is there a timeline, Mayor?
We had right a now, timeline.
Yeah.
As soon as we can get Patty's position filled, and then we can transfer a lot of that stuff over there. I mean, it's within the budget. It's already
too long.
Existing position.
Too long, Mayor.
Well, it's an existing position, and it's in the budget.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, we got a temporary person down at WPCA collecting funds. Does anybody know that about that?
We probably weren't.
She's there temporarily. All right, so she's being paid temporarily to collect fees because Mary's not there anymore. Patty's not there. Keith has the institutional knowledge on this, and he's graciously helping the city out because he's been a member and a citizen of Derby for so many years that he wants to see just a lot of this stuff taken care of. And as soon as we can get that other position filled out, that can get handed off just like the finance director was handed off, and that will be paid off with Patty's position.
Well, it's Barbara. I think we need to, I mean, this is a discussion that needs to happen further because honestly, we had a deadline, you know, we had a concern about somebody's terms of employment with the city. One of my big feelings here is that, you know, we have somebody who terminated their employment, still working here, still has access to confidential information, to personal information. You know, that's a concern for me. And I understand, yes, we want, but
he was, you know, a trusted person.
If that wasn't enough time,
years,
but if it wasn't enough time, the time we gave, then somebody should have came to us and said, you know, we need additional time. But now we're, you know, we're going to be in April.
Barbara, he handed off everything. He handed everything off to David. David is doing the day-to-day operations for finance.
Okay, Mayor, I have a comment. I listened to the board taxation minutes video, and David said that Keith is handling the audit. So he's, I mean, that was mentioned in the meeting.
Whether he's, I don't think he's handling it. I mean, he's assisting maybe David for information on it, but he's not handling it. David is in, he's the acting finance director, and he is the one that's handling it until we get a full-time finance director.
So can we hear what he's getting paid?
$30 an hour, $30.
You got cut off, Andrew, I couldn't hear you.
$30 an hour is the rate that Keith is getting.
And if we had to go to Robert Heff, where we went to get David, we'd probably be doing $70, $80, $90, $100 an hour to get all the information out of Patty's computer and handle all the things. So I think we did due diligence to save the taxpayers of Citizen Derby a lot of money.
And just to address Mayor Alderwoman Dugato's comment, in terms of the audit, again, Patty, you know, because you were here, Patty was dealing with the auditors for half the year and they were in the building. With COVID, we haven't seen the auditors in this building. There's been a lot of digital back and forth trading of files and things like that. So if Keith has any role in that, it's the parking garage account, which we still are backlogged from 19 with information that fortunately, again, and I don't want to ever bring up Patty. I don't. That was not done yet because I think she had every intention of doing that in January and handing it to the auditor. That wasn't even begun. The whole year's worth of QuickBooks for the parking garage. So the general fund stuff is done. The Board of Education stuff is done. The bigger stuff is done. It's these little one-off accounts that we have, separate grants and capital projects, that it just doesn't make sense to bring in an outside person to rebuild all those things and have to understand where to get that information. So again, I agree with Corp Counsel's assertion that this is a communication issue. And again, I'll take that on myself and on the administration. I don't think it's Mayor Zekin's fault in a day-to-day operations. That's my fault. So if anybody had any questions, we're all readily available, happy to answer. David will be on in 2 weeks, as he always is for the department head reports. But as you know, we're paying him an hourly rate that is substantial. We pay him for 30 hours a week. And between the tax board meetings and however many hours he have here, we don't even have any hours to spare to have him on this meeting tonight. So we have a finance director that's an interim at 30 hours. Where do we think we have the staff to have the bandwidth to do some of the other stuff outside of the budget, the payroll, the payables, all the things that happen in our already short staff finance department? I appreciate the question and I understand the question. I think David could address it more carefully. I can just tell you being here every day that we're doing the best that we can with who we have. So if we had to tap a resource of someone who has institutional knowledge here, that was a prudent thing for the taxpayers of Derby. So I resent the implication that it's an irresponsible to the taxpayers of Derby. It was a prudent decision, whether it was communicated to this legislative board when there was really nothing to legislate. I don't know. Clearly, it wasn't communicated clearly enough. So that's on me. So I don't really have anything else to say about it.
Well, something else odd happened with this David in the finance office this week. First time in my experience in the last few years, a woman called me. Her husband retired after 25 years on the public works and was trying to get through. She called in November. They told her to call in December because she was turning 65. She called in December. They told her to call in January. She called in January. They told her to call in February. She called in February. They told her to call in March. And she's turning 65 in April. She was panicking. So I called David the other day and he took care of it in 15 minutes. I was shocked. It was very good. So I wanted to congratulate him tonight at the meeting, but he isn't here. But I just wanted to let everyone know about that happy ending. Because this poor woman was delayed, and she was panicking because April, they were turning 65 and she needed the whatever the other insurance is.
And I think, Ron, that was like a problem with the finance over there. A lot of people didn't know, as a retiree and everything, as your wife was and everything. And with the third person in there to have dual roles with a bunch of things and with HR and with the pensions and stuff like that and the retirees, that's what we're really striving. So they don't have those issues. And I understand them. I mean, it's tough.
That was a big thing. She was under such pressure, poor woman. And he settled like in 15 minutes. I was shocked.
Mm-hmm. No, and that's why I'm glad we're doing the for the outside finance director is taking out of this office and get a professional in there that just, and I mean, the candidates that we got applications from are phenomenal. So I'm looking forward to see who the committee picks.
And I mean, Andrew straightened out the phone for me in the finance office. I think he told you about that.
Yeah.
I just have one more question. Is Keith's signature still on the city checks? So he's got signature.
I know I'm signing checks with Maria for certain certain accounts that Patty had, and then I think for the regular one, I think no, Keith's signatures are off those.
Okay, off of those, but. The regular ones, because I know they were pre-printed with a signature. So we have to look into that, Mayor. I think the pre-printed are still on there.
I don't have my check with me. I wish I did look at it, but I'm pretty sure it's just Maria that she's not on it. I don't know if Walters was on it, but we'll check into that and get back to you on this.
Thank you.
Yeah. Well, that's all I have. On that.
Any other questions? All right, hearing on. Executive session. Have a motion to go in executive session and bring corporate counsel, Carmen, Drew.
Make the motion.
Joe. Second, Rob.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? All right, so Carrie, Mark, if you switch us over.
Sure, it's 8:03 p.m. I'm going to pause the recording.
Thank you.
9:04.
Mark, you awake?
Gotta wait, Ronnie.
Barely. I'm here.
I'll second it, too.
All right.
I don't think we're out yet.
We're lucky. It's still 9:04. Yeah.
All right. Motion to come back in regular session.
Yeah. So moved.
So moved.
Second.
Second.
Well, I'll second it. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. 13 regular session. So we have no
action.
No action, right? From either one. Okay. Sounds good. All right. 14.
Motion to adjourn. It's still, it's 9:05.
9:05, Ron. Second.
Second.
Thank you, everyone. All right. Thank you, everybody, for coming out tonight.
Thank you.
Stay safe out there.
Good night.
We'll see you in a couple weeks.
Hey, guys.
All right.
Happy Easter.
Have a nice holiday.
Peace out.